Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Quacit snato nulliptanga,
quacit snato nulliptanga.
स्नातः
bathing
very nicely.
Anuritta
angah.
With
sandalwood pulp smeared all over the body.
Suvasaha.
Dressing with very nice garments.
Sarvi.
Decorated with garlands of flowers.
Alankritah.
Bedecked with various types of ornaments. Ratha. On a chariot.
Ibha.
Or an elephant. Ashwaihai. Or on the back of a horse. Chare.
I wonder.
Wapi. Sometimes.
Dikvasaha.
Completely naked.
Krahavat.
As if haunted by a ghost.
Vibho.
O Lord. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Oh my Lord, sometimes I bathe myself very nicely, smear sandalwood pulp all over my body, put on a flower garland, and dress in fine garments and ornaments. Then I travel like a king on the back of an elephant, or on a chariot or horse. Sometimes, however, I travel naked like a person haunted by ghost. Text 42nd.
Naham ninde na chastaumi svabhava vishamam janam etesham shreya ashase utaikatmyam mahatmani.
Na, not. Aham, I, ninde, blaspheme, na, nor, cha, also, staumi, praise, svabhava, whose nature, vishamam, contradictory, janam, a living entity or human being, etesham, of all of them, shreyah, the ultimate benefit, ashasi, I pray for, uta, indeed, aikatmyam, oneness, mahaatmani, in the super soul, the parabrahman, Krishna. Translation. Different people are of different mentalities, therefore it is not my business either to praise them or to blaspheme them. I only desire their welfare, hoping that they will agree to become one with the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna. Purport. As soon as one comes to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one understands fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, is the goal of life. Vasudevah sarvam iti sa mahatma sudurlabha. This is the instruction of all the Vedic literature. Vedaishta sarvairahameva vedyam vedanta kritveda videva chaham sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. There is no use in praising someone for material qualifications or blaspheming him for material disqualifications. In the material world, good and bad have no meaning, because if one is good, he may be elevated to a higher planetary system, and if one is bad, he may be degraded to the lower planetary systems. People of different mentalities are sometimes elevated and sometimes degraded, but this is not the goal of life. Rather, the goal of life is to become free from elevation and degradation and take to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a saintly person does not discriminate between that which is supposedly good and supposedly bad, but rather he desires for everyone to be happy in Krishna consciousness, which is the ultimate goal of life.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Tadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yotapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Satrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadabhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Govesha Govika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Tripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitya सच्चिदानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण At the very beginning of today's discourse, I would like to submit my most respectfully prostrated obeisances unto the lotus feet of their divine conjugal lordships, Shri Shri Radha Kala Chandji Bhagwan, along with their eternal associates and companions such as Shri Lalita Devi, Shri Vishakha Devi, Shri Ruparati Manjari, etc. And along with them, I would also like to offer my most respectfully prostrated homages unto the lotus feet of their divine lordships, Shri Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Shri Shri Nityananda Prabhu, along with their perpetual entourage, like Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Sanatana Goswami, and all the six Goswamis of Shri Dhamma Vrindavan. Finally, I would like to pay my obeisances and due respects unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace Abhaya Charana Ravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has very nicely, very artistically propagated and has dispersed the doctrine and gospels of Krishna consciousness throughout this world in this present modern era in the most unique and unprecedented fantastic way. Finally, I would like to pay my due respects unto all the Vaishnavas and devotees of the Lord present herein, and thereby I would now like to commence the proposed topic of our discussion, especially the topic belonging to the 7th canto, 13th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the topic of the behavior of a perfect person as explained by the Python Man. So, in today's verses, the Python Man is explaining the position of Paramahansa Mahabhagavata devotee, as we explained yesterday, in more elaboration by clarifying the concept furthermore. As it has been explained in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, that Brahma Bhutaha Prasannatma Nashochati Nakamshati Samha Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhaktim Labhate Param. And as it has been explained in the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Kavi Hastini Shuni Jaivas Shwabhate Cha Panditaha Samatarshinaha. The topmost devotees of the Lord, who are on the topmost platform, they see with an equal vision all the living entities, and therefore they do not praise anyone, nor do they glorify anyone on the material platform. They may praise, and they are actually praising, and it is only their business to praise Supreme Lord and His pure devotees. And it is actually their business to always praise the Supreme Lord and His devotees. Machitta madgata prana bodhayantah parasparam It is always their business, it is always their perpetual occupation to glorify the Supreme Lord and His devotees, not just by one tongue, not just by one tongue, but by trillions and billions of unlimited innumerable tongues. That is why Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in his Anuraga Valli, which is found within his collection of prayers known as Stavamrita Lahari, he says, Dehar Bodhani Bhagavan Yogapat Prayacha Vaktrar Bodhani Bhagavan Prati Vaktra Meva Jihvar Bodhani Bhagavan Prati Jihva Meva. So he says that, O Krishna, please award me, please adopt to me, please give me, please be very kind. You are a generous donor, you are the most generous donor in all the three worlds. You are the most generous donor in all the three worlds. So I am requesting unto your lotus feet that please give me innumerable, unlimited gross bodies to inhabit within, to stay within. Please grant me innumerable bodies so that my soul can become expanded and stay within those innumerable material gross bodies. If you want to keep me in material, that's fine. That's fine. But please grant me innumerable material bodies, not just one. Why? Because if I will get any money in my material bodies, I will naturally get one head per body, so I will get innumerable heads. But then he is praying that please give me not one tongue but innumerable tongues within each head of that body that you should give me, and you should not give me one head but rather you should give me unlimited heads. Unlimited heads on every body, unlimited bodies, and then unlimited tongues in every head, in every face or in every mouth. Why? So that I can take your holy name in surplus amount, in an unlimited amount. So this is the business, this is the occupation of the pure devotees of the Lord. They are praising the pure devotees and Bhagavan. That is their only business. But on the mundane platform, they do not praise anybody, or nor do they criticize or blaspheme anyone on the mundane platform. So, Srila Prabhupada, as he is writing in the very first line of his purport, that as soon as one comes to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one understands fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudev is the goal of life. And because this becomes the perpetual mentality, this becomes the perpetual mentality, swabhava or nature of Uttam Mahabharata devotee, that is why he acts in such a way. So, wherein it in the Shastras it has been described, because Srila Prabhupada writes in the second line of the purport that this is the instruction of all the Vedic literature. What is the instruction? That as soon as one comes to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one fully is able to comprehend the personality of Godhead Vasudev, and that he is the goal of life. So, it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramakaha, Vasudeva Parayoga, Vasudeva Parahakriyaha, Vasudeva Paranjyanam, Vasudeva Parantapaha, Vasudeva Parodharma, Vasudeva Paragatihi. This verse comes in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first three chapters. This comes in the first three chapter. And then similar verse like this is found in the later portion of Srimad Bhagavatam. That verse also means the same, but instead of Vasudev, it has Narayana. Narayana Paraveda, Narayana Paramakaha, Narayana Parayoga, Narayana Parahakriyaha, Narayana Paramjyanam, Narayana Paramtapaha, Narayana Parodharmo, Narayana Paragatihi. So, this verse or is found two times in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in this verse, it is stated, Sutta Goswami is actually telling Shaunaka and all the other 88,000 rishis and sages who have assembled in the sacred place of Naimisharanya. Sutta Goswami is telling them that Vasudeva Paraveda. All the Vedas, they are leaned towards Vasudeva. They are leaned towards Vasudeva. Vasudeva Paraveda. All the Vedas, their final goal, their final destination is Vasudeva. That means that all the Vedas only explain Vasudeva, Bhagavan Vasudeva, Lord Narayan as the only subject matter. The Vedas have no other vishaya. The Vedas or the Vedic scriptures or the other Vedic literatures in pursuance of the Vedas, all of them do not have any other goal, any other target, any other aim besides glorifying and explaining and describing and vividly depicting Lord Vyasudeva and his transcendental glories. So Vasudeva Paraveda, and it is also been stated in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and Srila Prabhupada is also quoting that verse here. In Srimad Bhagavad Gita it has been stated that Vedaischa Sarvairahameva Vedyah Vedanta Krit Veda Videva Chaham. Lord Krishna is telling to Arjuna in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is rather entitled as Purushottama Yoga. So in the Purushottama Yoga 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna that Vedaischa Sarvairahameva Vidyam, by all the Vedas, and by all the corollaries of the Vedas and by all the other literatures which are in pursuance to the four main Vedas, by all of them only I am to be known. Veda, and certainly I am to be known by the Vedas. Vedaishcha sarvai ahameva vidyam. And not only that, Vedanta Krit. I am the one who has compiled the four Vedas and all the other Vedic literatures in pursuance of those four Vedas. Because the four Vedas, the 18 Puranas, the Mahabharata, Ramayana and all these other Shastras, they emanate from the transcendental body of Lord Karana Dakshaya Mahavishnu. How? Because it has been mentioned in the Chandogya Upanishad or in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad of the Vedas, Yajnavalkya is telling his wife Gargi Devi that evam va are asya mahato bhutasya nihishvasitam etad yadaridavedah yajurvedah samaved atharangirasah itihasah puranam panchamo vedam uchyate. So Yajnavalkya Rishi is telling his wife Gargi, who is considered to be the scholarly woman of the Satya Treta and Dwapar ages. In the previous ages, actually generally women are not allowed or are not permitted to study the Vedas. And Srimad Bhagavatam first canto states this very clearly. Stri Shudra Dvij Bandhunam Traina Shruti Gochara. The women, the Shudras, the fourth class men and the friends of the Brahmana Kshatriya and Vaishya, the Dvij Bandhus, they are not allowed to study the Vedas. But the exceptional cases, some women were allowed to study the Vedas who were of unparalleled exceptional intelligence and purity. Like we find many quotations in the Vedas itself. In the Vedas themselves we find many quotations that Gargi is fully aware of all the certain intricacies found in the Vedas and other Vedic literatures. And there are many other women like Gargi, like the wife of Vashishtha and the wife of Atri Rishi, Ansuya Devi, wife of Vashishtha Arundhati. These are all very scholarly women. And Mother Saraswati, who herself is the mother, or Mother Saraswati and Mother Gayatri Devi, who are considered to be the mothers of the four Vedas, they themselves are women. So, but although they are celestial women, that's different, but even women in this material world or in this earthly planet, those who are women in the Homo sapiens species, that's what I'm talking about. Because women are also among the demigod species. But we are talking about those women who are in the human Homo sapiens species. Even those women were allowed to study if they were of an exceptional character, purity and of exceptional intelligence. The Vedas are full of these evidences. So also, there was no mandatory requirement that anyone who is only born within the Brahmana family can study the Veda. That is the example of the Javal found within the Javal Upanishad. Javal, he didn't know who is his father, but still he was accepted to study the Veda because he was of the Brahmanical quality. So, Vasudeva Paraveda, Vedanta Krit. Vedanta Krit means the Vedas have been created or they have been actually made manifest by the Lord. So, where is the proof? In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Yajnavalkya is telling his wife Gargi Devi that evam va are asya mahato bhutasya nishyotitam etat yad rigveda yajurveda etc. That in this way, O Maitreyi or O Gargi, in this way, the four Vedas, Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda and Atharvaveda, and itihas means history, means Mahabharata, and Puranam, the 18 Puranas, the Mahabharata and the four Vedas. They have all been emanated, they have all been made manifest from the exhalation of Lord Karana Dakshaya Mahavishnu. Mahato Bhutasya means Mahavishnu here. That is what the explanation what Jiva Goswami has given in his Sandarbhas. This Vedic mantra Mahato Bhutasya means Karana Dakshaya Mahavishnu, who lies down in the causal ocean at the time of creation, he makes manifest the four Vedas, the Mahabharata, the original form of the Ramayana and the 18 Puranas. All these Mula Shastras, all these original Vedic scriptures, he makes it manifest. So Lord Narayana or Lord Krishna is the Vedanta Krit. He is the original source for all these Vedic literatures. That is why he says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta Krit, I am the compiler. But he is the original source in two ways. As Mahavishnu, in the beginning of creation, he makes manifest all these Vedas and everything. But then in the Dwapar Yuga, he again incarnates as his expanded form in the form of Satyavati Sut, Badrayam, Krishna Dwaipayam, Vyasade. And then he puts all of those Vedas, Puranas, Itihas, everything, which were until his time, until his advent, found within this material world, just in oral form. All the Vedas, all the Puranas, and all these other Vedic Shastras, they were found until Vyasa incarnated, they were found existing just in oral form, not in written form. So Vyasa has put them in the written form. Shrutis and Smritis, Agam, Nigam, everything. Puran, Sanhita, Pancharatra, everything he has put into the written form. So, Lord Krishna is in two ways, the compiler or the original source for these Vedic literatures. First, in the form of Mahavishnu, and second, in the form of Vyasadeva. Yes, so Vedanta Krit. Krishna says, I am the compiler of all the Vedas and other Shastras. Veda Videva Chaham. And I, because I am the compiler, I know what is the real import, what is the true import of all the Vedas and other literatures. And I know, because I am the compiler, who can know better than the compiler of the book? That is why I am the compiler, I know what goal the Vedas have, what final destination or what aim they have, what aim the Vedas have, what aim the Vedas contain within themselves. That aim I know. And because I know, I can say that I am the aim of the Vedas. Vedaishcha sarvaiha ahameva vidyaha. Yes. And then it is also said in Harivansha Purana, which is considered to be the appendix of Mahabharata. Harivansha Purana is considered to be the appendix of Mahabharata. So, in Harivansha Purana, Lord Vyasadeva is very frank and very straightforward, and he says that Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tatha Adava Madhye Cha Antye Cha Harihi Sarvatra Giyate. Vyasadeva says, Vede Ramayane Chaiva. In all the four Vedas, and the 108 Upanishads, which fall within the four Vedas. Yes. Veda, and by Veda, Vedanta Sutra is also indicated. By the word Veda here, Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra, consisting of 540 aphorisms, is also indicated. Because that is also part of the Veda. So, Veda Ramayane Chaiva, in the Brahma Sutras, in the four Vedas, and in the 108 Upanishads, Veda. Then, Ramayane. In the Adi Kavya, known as Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, that is the Adi Kavya. Adi Kavya means the first epic the human beings have ever seen. That is Adi Kavya. That is why you will find at the last, in the ending portion of every chapter of Valmiki Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana chapter is called Sarga. Instead of Adhyay, it is called Sarga there. So, and the cantos are called kandas, not the skandha, but kandas. Bhagavatam we have skandha or canto. In Valmiki Ramayana we have canto is known as kanda, not skandha. And then every chapter is known as sarga. In Bhagavatam every chapter is known as adhyaya. So, at the end of every chapter and at the end of every canto of Valmiki Ramayana, Valmiki Muni writes that iti Shri Adi Kavya Ramayana. Adi Kavya means it is the first epic the human beings have ever seen. It is the first epic, historically speaking, written. So, Ramayana means the first epic. Purane, and then the 18 Puranas, and Bharate. Bharate means Mahabharata, which is the most authorized literature on the history of the four yugas. Because Mahabharata is considered to be falling within the Itihasa category. And Itihasa means history. And Mahabharata is the most authorized and bona fide evidence for the history of all the four yugas. So, here Vyasadeva is saying in Harivansha Purana that in all the four Vedas, in Valmiki Ramayana, in Mahabharata, and in all the 18 Puranas, in the beginning, Adava Madhyecha Antyecha, in the beginning of all these literatures, in the beginning parts of all these literatures, in the central most intermediate part of all these literatures, and in the ending portions of all these literatures, Certainly only Lord Hari and his glories have been sung.
Adav madhye cha antye cha harihi sarvatra giyate.
Only Lord Hari is glorified. But then when we ask the question, that means that Adi, Madhya and Ant, Adav, Madhya, Chantya, beginning, middle and end. That means that only in the beginning, only in the end, and only in the ending parts of the Shastras have Hari been glorified. But not in those portions of the Shastra which are falling between the middle and the beginning portion, and which are falling between the middle and the ending portion. In those portions, Hari has not been glorified. Somebody can put an argument like that. So Vyasa wants to clarify more that no, not just in the beginning, middle and end, but sarvatra giyate. In all the portions of the Vedic literature, sarvatra. Adava madhyecha antyecha harihi sarvatra giyate. In all the portions. Not even a single chapter, not even a single verse, not even a single canto, not even a single word or phrase found within that verse, and not even a single syllable found within this verse, can one say that Hari has not been glorified. No, He is glorified in all the words and syllables of all the Shastras, and He is the only target. So Vasudeva Parameva. Now one can say that there are many different demigods which have been glorified in many different Puranas and Vedas. And sometimes in Srimad Bhagavatam also, like in the fourth canto, Lord Shiva has been glorified by Brahma, Indra and other demigods at the time of Daksha Yajna, at the time of the sacrifice of Daksha Prajapati. So one can say that no, it is not that only Lord Hari has been glorified. This is an exaggeration. What Vyasa writes is an exaggeration. No. Practically it does not apply. Practically we see that many of the demigods have been glorified. So Madhvacharya quotes from Samaveda. He quotes one mantra from Samaveda in his Madhva Bhashya. In his commentary to Vedanta Sutra, Madhvacharya quotes the mantra from Samaveda, which that mantra means that one, that mantra is translated as that all the names of Lord Vishnu, all the nouns, all the names which are found within the Sanskrit language, all the names and nouns which are found within the original language of the mankind, which is the Sanskrit language, all those nouns which are found in Sanskrit primarily indicate, primarily mean, primarily are defined as relating to Lord Narayana. And only secondarily, they mean something else. Now this is the mantra Madhvacharya uses. So, the Vedas, the Sama Veda very clearly states that Sarvani Navani Vishnoho Iha Jagati. That is the mantra. That all the names which are found, all the proper nouns and pronouns, which are found within the Sanskrit language, are primarily indicating Lord Narayana. As the only primary definition or meaning. And those words and nouns are only secondarily indicating other objects. So by using this word, this statement of the Samaveda, now one can say that all the names like Shiva, Brahma, Indra, etc. primarily indicate Lord Narayana, only secondarily indicate Shiva, Brahma, only secondarily indicate those demigods. Now the whole interpretation gets changed. Right? So all the Vedic mantras and all those statements of the Puranas and the Vedas, which seem to glorify, according to apparent vision, which seem to glorify all these other demigods, but these other demigods, these nouns are not indicating that primarily, these nouns are indicating Lord Vishnu primarily. Those demigods are indicated by these nouns only in a secondary sense. That's what the Samaveda says. So, by this we can prove that the Vedas and the Puranas and all other Vedic literatures have only one goal. And that is Vasudeva Paraveda.
That means that all the Vedas, their only main goal is Vasudeva, to explain Vasudeva. Adava Madhyecha Antyecha Harihi Sarvatra Giyate. Vedaischa Sarvai Tahameva Vityam.
Lord Krishna does not say that only by some portions of the Vedas I am to be known. He says,
sarvaihai vedaihai aham eva vidyah. Vedaischa sarvaihai aham eva vidyah. In Bhagavad Gita he says, not by some portions of the Vedas I am to be known, and by other portions of the Vedas, the other demigods like Shiva, Brahma, etc. are to be known. No, he says by all the Vedas. The word sarva means all. By all the Vedas, that means all the different portions of the Vedas. That means even those portions which are glorifying Shiva and Brahma, primarily are glorifying Vishnu, only secondarily they are glorifying those demigods. Yes. Vedaischa sarvai rahameva vidyam, vedanta kritveda videva chaham. So Vasudeva paraveda, this, the goal of the Vedas and Shastras is Vasudeva. This is how Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha is understood by the Mahabhagavad devotee. By the Mahabhagavat devotee, when he understands that Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samhatma Durlabha, as Srila Prabhupada is quoting this verse from Bhagavad Gita, this is how it is understood. Vasudeva Paraveda, and then comes Vasudeva Paramakaha. And all the different types of sacrifices. There are different types of sacrifices like Hom, Yajna, Makha, Kratu, etc. You know, these are all synonymous words in Sanskrit language for indicating sacrifice. But then each sacrifice, there are different types of sacrifices. Some sacrifices are known as Homa, some are known as Yajna, some are known as Makha, some are known as Kratu. But generally all sacrifices combined together are known as Yajna or Makha. So Vasudeva Paramakaha. Vasudeva Paramakaha means that all the sacrifices and all the different types of Yajnas are aimed at satisfying Lord Vishnu. Are aimed at satisfying Lord Vishnu. How? Because in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is telling, Yajyartha karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhanah. He says that all those other actions which are performed otherwise else are cause for bondage. But all those actions which are performed in order to satisfy Lord Vishnu, who is himself known as Yajna. Yajna arthat karmano anyatra. Lord Vishnu, one name of Lord Vishnu is Yajna. He is himself Yajna personified. So all those actions which are performed to satisfy and please Yajna Swarup Bhagwan. Yajna Swarup Bhagwan means Lord Narayana. Because Baldev Vidyabhushan from the Upanishad, he quotes one statement. The Upanishads describe Yajna Vai Vishnu. The Upanishads proclaim Yajna Vai Vishnu. Yajna vai Vishnu, vai means certainly, vai means certainly. And the statement means that certainly Yajna is no other than Vishnu himself. Yajna vai Vishnu. We can say Yajna, we can say Vishnu, they both mean the same. Yajna vai Vishnu. And by quoting this statement, Baldev Vidyabhushan is trying to interpret the statement Yajna arthat karmano anyatra of Bhagavad Gita to mean that Lord Krishna is trying to say that all those actions which are done to please Yajna or Lord Vishnu. Yajna means Lord Vishnu itself. So Vasudeva Paramakaha, all the yajnas, all the sacrifices are performed to satisfy Yajna Purusha, and that is Lord Narayana. Vasudeva Paramakaha. And this is how the Paramahansa Mahabhagavata devotee understands that everything in this world is ultimately culminating in Vasudeva. All the objects and all the different types of activities, they are culminating in Vasudeva, because Vasudeva is the only goal. So Vasudeva para yoga, now this is the third phrase. Vasudeva para veda, Vasudeva para makaha, Vasudeva para yoga. Vasudeva para yoga means that all different types of yogas like Hatha yoga, Raja yoga, Ashtanga yoga, etc. Ashtanga yoga has 8 limbs. Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, Dhyan, Dharana, Pratyahara and Samadhi. So, Ashtanga Yoga, Hatha Yoga, Raja Yoga and all other different types of yogas, the only goal of these yogas like Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, etc. The only goal of these yogas is to satisfy Lord Vishnu. And from where it is proven? From two statements. First, from the statement of Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, Lord Krishna says, Tapasvibhyo adhiko yogi, jnanibhyo vimatodhitah, karmibhyaschadhiko yogi, tasmad yogi bhava arjuna. Lord Krishna says that tapasvibhyo adhiko yogi, higher than the tapasvis, higher than those who perform austerities and sacred penances, are the yogis. Tapasvibhyo adhiko yogi. Jnanibhyo vimatodhitah. and higher than those Jnanamargis who are seeking to become one with the impersonal Brahman, higher than those Jnanis are also the Yogis. Jnani Yogi Mato Vadita. Karmitya Shadhi Ko Yogi. And higher than the Karmis. Now Karmis are of two types, Sakam and Nishkam. Sakam Karmi and Nishkam Karmi. So higher than both the motivated actors and unmotivated actors. Sakam Karmi and Nishkam Karmi are the Yogi. Karmitya Shadhi Ko Yogi. Tasmad Yogi Bhava Arjuna. And that is why I recommend you to become Yogi. But now Arjuna can think that, oh, he is recommending me to become Ashtanga Yogi or Hatha Yogi or Raja Yogi. No. Krishna clarifies, Yoginam api sarvesham madhigatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam savne yukta tamo mataha. In the next verse, 46th verse of the 6th chapter. Yoginam api sarvesham, among all the yogis, like Ashtanga yogis and Hatha yogis and Raja yogis, and among all the different types of yogis, Madhate Nantaratmana, those whose hearts and minds are very intently absorbed in thinking and remembering me, my qualities, my name, form, pastimes, endurance, etc. Madhate Nantaratmana. And those who are very faithfully, very exclusively, and steadfastly and unmotivatingly who are serving me without any other superficial ulterior motives, just in order to satisfy me, those who are serving me, shraddhavan bhajate yomam sami yuktatamo matah, these devotees of mine, these pure devotees of mine are considered to be the most united among all the different types of yogis, because the word yoga means union, unification, and yogi means one who unites. But among all the yogis, bhakti yogi is the most united. Bhakta is the most united with the Lord. Sami yukta tamo mataha. And what does the word bhaja here mean? The word bhaja, bhajate, shraddhavan bhajate yomam. One who serves me faithfully. Bhajate means one who serves me faithfully, shraddhavan. One who serves me faithfully. But it has been explained in the Narada Purana by Lord Vyasadeva that bhaja ityesha vai dhatuhu sevayam parikirtitah. This word known as bhajate. Bhajate is a verb actually. Bhajate means to serve someone. Bhajate is a verb. So this verb bhajate comes out from a verbal root known as bhaj. Bhaj is the verbal root which makes the verb bhajate come into existence. From the verbal root, verb comes out. So bhaj is the verbal root from which bhajate is made. So what does the verbal root mean? Because whatever meaning the verbal root will have, the same meaning the verb will have. Because the verb is coming from the verbal root. So bhaj ityesha vai dhatuhu sevayam parikirtitah. This is also the literal definition, shabdik paribhasha, literal definition of the word bhakti or bhajan. The word bhakti has the same meaning as the word bhajan, and the meaning of the word bhajate is the same as bhajan. Bhajan is noun, bhakti is noun. Actually, bhajan is noun in masculine gender, bhakti is noun in feminine gender, and bhajate is a verb. But all of them have the same meaning because all of them have been derived from the same verbal root bhaj. Bhakti, bhajan and bhajate, all of them derived from the same root, and the root is bhaj, bhaj dhatu. Dhatu means verbal root. So bhaj ityesha vai dhatuhu sevayam parikirtitah. Narada Puran, in the Narada Puran, Lord Vyasadeva is explaining that the verbal root known as bhaj can only be used while defining seva. Can only be used to mean seva or service. And seva, service, now sakamis can say, and the mokshakamis, they can say, because akamaha sarvakamova mokshakamo daravihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajet purusham param. It is injuncted for both those who are devotees, selfless devotees, those who are aspiring after liberation, mokshakamis, and those who are aspiring after mundane sense gratification, sensual gratification, the sarvakamis or sakamis. Sarvakami, sakami, mokshakami, and akami, that means the pure devotee. For all of these three types of people, only the worship of Lord Narayana is recommended by Bhagavatam, second canto, by Shukadeva Goswami. So, now those who are worshipping Lord Narayana with the desire of getting liberation or with desire of getting sense gratification, they might think here that we are worshipping the Supreme Lord Narayana for getting liberation and sense enjoyment, our worship is also seva. And that is why it can also be considered bhakti. No, no, no. Their seva cannot be considered bhakti. Actually, what they are doing is not seva, because they are just acting as a businessman, as a commercial person in front of the Supreme Lord. They are saying, hey, Krishna, we will serve you and you shall fulfill our desires of sense gratification and liberation. So, that is considered trade or commercial exchange. That is not seva. Seva means service without any selfish motive. So, bhaj dhatu bhakti primarily means that service which is without any motive. So, shraddhavan bhajate means all those worshippers of Lord Narayana who are either worshipping him due to some mundane desire or due to the desire of liberation are excluded here. Only the pure selfless devotees of the Lord are included when Krishna says, Shraddhavan bhajate yomam samayuktatamo mataha, only the pure devotees are indicated here. Not artho jigyasur artharati jnani jabratarshava. Because Sanatana Goswami Pad says in his commentary in Srimad Bhagavatam, and also Vishwanath and Baldev also agree, and Srila Prabhupada also agrees in his Bhakti Vedan purports while defining the verse, Chaturvidha bhajante mam janaha sukritino arjuna artho jikyasur artharati jnani cha bharatarshabha. All of the acharyas they agree that here arthan means those who are materially distressed, jikyasu those who are materially inquisitive, jnani those who have reached the point of knowledge, speculative knowledge, those who have reached the climax of speculative knowledge, jnani, and artharthi, those who are wanting material sense gratification and opulence. All of these four types are not pure devotees. Pure devotees, characterized by Anya Vilashita Shunyam verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, are just a different category. And that is why Krishna is talking only about pure devotees here. When he says Vasudeva para yoga, the only purpose the yoga serves, or all the different yogas or yoga systems they serve, is to please Lord Vasudeva, Vasudeva para yoga. And there is one second statement found within the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva writes, Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutah Stumbanti Devyai Haista Vair Vedai Hai Sangha Padakrama Panishadair Gayanti Yam Samagaha Dhyana Vasthita Tad Gatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogino Yasyantam Naviduhu Sura Suraganaha Devaya Tasmai Namaha. Vyasadeva is saying that Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Manutaha Satunvanti Divyai Hai Stavari. Actually, Yasyantam Naviduhu Sura Suragana Devaya Tasmai Namaha. We adore that Vasudeva. Devaya Tasmai Namaha. We pay our respectful obeisances unto that Lord Vasudeva, whose beginning and cannot be known by either the demigods or by the demons, then what to speak of the human beings. Yasyantam na viduhu sura asura ganaha, sura asura ganaha, devaya tasmai namaha. Whose end and whose beginning cannot be known, because who has no end and because he has no beginning. Because he has no beginning and because he has no end, because he is bereft of both beginning and end, because he is eternal. That is why neither his beginning, neither his end can be known either by the demigods, sura, either by the demons, asura, and by the human beings. And unto that Lord Vasudeva, who cannot be known by all the three types of living entities, demons, demigods and human beings. Then what to speak of other lower species like beasts and birds, who have no rational wisdom at all? That and to that Lord Vasudev we bow down. And that Lord Vasudev is of what nature, is of what characteristic, is of what quality? Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha. That Lord Vasudev, who? Demigods, beginning with Brahma. Rudra, that means Lord Shiva. Varuna, Yam Brahma Varuna Indra. Indra, the head of the 3300 million demigods, is Indra. So Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Varuna, Yam Brahma, Varunendra, Rudra, Marutaha, and the 49 Marutganas, who are also considered demigods. Marutaha Stunati Devyai Haistavai. And all these principal demigods, they glorify the Supreme Lord Vasudev by chosen, selected prayers of the Vedas, like the Purusha Sukta prayers or like the Brihat Sama prayers, etc. Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha Stunati Devyai Haistavai Vedai Hai Sanga Padakrama Upanishadai Hai Gayanti Yam Samagaha. And not only the demigods worship the Lord Narayana in this way, but also those Brahmanas or those Rishi Munis, those sages, those scholars who are expert in singing and chanting the Vedas and Vedic mantras according to the Pada system and Krama system. There are two systems of reciting the Vedas. So, Vedai hai Sangha Pada Krama Upanishadai hai Gayanti Yam Samaga. Those expert chanters of the four Vedas, those Brahmins who know every nook and corner of all the four Vedas and how to chant them in many different ways by using Udakta Swar, Anudakta Swar and Swarita Swar, etc. Those who are very expert in chanting the Vedas in different styles and different meters and different lyrics and rhymes, those Brahmanas, they are also engaged in always glorifying this Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vasudeva. Not only by chanting the four Vedas, not only by reciting the four Vedas, but also by reciting the corollaries of the four Vedas. Vedai hai sa anga parakramopanishadai hai. By chanting the Upanishads, by chanting the Vedas and their corollaries, they try to satisfy the Supreme Lord. And not only the Brahmins do this, but also the yogis. Dhyana avasthita padgatena manasa pasyanti yam yogino. Dhyana avasthita. Those yogis who are firmly fixed up in meditation on the super soul, Paramatma, who is Kshirotakshayi Vishnu, he is the Paramatma. Those Ashtanga yogis who are firmly fixed up in meditating upon this Kshirotakshayi Vishnu, who is present as Paramatma or localized portion, super soul, in heart of every living entity. Kechit Swadehamta Hridayavakashe Pradesh Matram Purusham Pasantam. Bhagavatam says that in the Hriday Avakash means in the region of heart. Lord Vishnu stays in the heart of every living entity. This is what Bhagavatam also states. So, this Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, the super soul, he is meditated upon by the followers of Ashtanga Yoga system. Dhyana avasthita tadgateena manasa pasyanti yam yogino. Those yogis who meditate upon him, his personal form, in their minds. And to that Vasudeva Priya, we offer our obeisances. So from this Shastric quotation, we can know that the ultimate aim of the yoga system is to meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Narayana and thereby to try to serve him. And then it has also been described in Mahabharata in the beginning of Vishnu Sahasranama, one verse comes. Shantakaram Bhujagashayaram Padmanabham Suresham Vishwadharam Gagana-Sadrisham Megha-Varanam Shubhangam Lakshmikantam Kavarnayanam Yogi-Bhir-Dhyanagamyam Vande Vishnum Bhava-Bhayaharam Sarvalokaitanatham. This is the shloka, which comes in Vishnu Sahasranam, which is spoken by Bhishma Dev when he is resting on the bed of arrows. At that time, he is telling the Pandavas, he is narrating whole Vishnu Sahasranam in front of the Pandavas, and within the Vishnu Sahasranam, this verse comes as an introduction. Before Vishnu Sahasranam recitation, one has to meditate on Lord Vishnu by reciting this shloka. So, it is stated in Mahabharata by Bhishma, and Vyasdev is writing this, is actually, Vyasdev is telling this shloka, and Ganesh is writing this shloka. Because who is the writer? Ganesha of Mahabharata. And the person who is speaking the verses is Vyasdev. And the original speaker is Bhishma there, in front of the Pandavas. So, in the Vishnu Sahasranam, this verse comes, Yogivir Dhyana Gamyam. That Vishnu, who is always present in Vaikuntha, in very peaceful posture, Shantakaram. Bhujagashayanam, who is always resting on Ananta Sheshnam, the divine transcendental serpent, Bhujagashayanam. Padmanabham, from whose level lotus flower comes out. Padmanabham Suresham, and who is the chief controller of all the other suras, demigods. Suresham. Vishwadharam, who is the ultimate shelter of the whole Vishwa, of the whole universe, of the whole material world, Vishwadharam. Gagana Sadrisham, and who is just like the sky. Just like the sky means whose complexion is bluish, just like the bluish complexion of the sky. Gagana Sadrisham, Meghavaranam. Meghavaranam, Shubhangam, and whose transcendental bodily limbs are all auspicious. Shubhangam. Meghavaranam Shubhangam. Lakshmikantam. And who is the husband of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, Lakshmikantam. Or who is always aspired after by Lord Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. That Lord Narayana, who is always hankered after by, or who is always aspired after by, goddess of fortune personified. She always aspires to be in association with Lord Narayana. Kanta means, Kanta, the word Kanta is made up of Kam Dhatu. According to the Sanskrit grammar, Kam Dhatu, Kam is the verbal root which makes the word Kanta. So Kam means desire. Well, Lord Narayana is desired by Lakshmi Devi, Lakshmi Kantam. Kamalanayanam, Kamalanayanam, who has lotus eyes, Lord, Pundarikaksha, lotus eyed Lord. Vishwa Kamalanayanam Yogi Bhir Dhyana Gamyam. And this type of Lord, who is mentioned with so many nouns and pronouns in this verse, this aforementioned Lord is being meditated upon by the different followers of the yoga system, the yogis, the Ashtanga yogis, Yogi Bhir Dhyana Gamyam. Sarva Lokaikanatham, and to that Lord Vishnu, who drives away all types of bhaya, all types of fearfulness from the hearts of his devotees, and who bestows abhaya. Abhaya means full freedom from fear. Who bestows fearlessness unto his devotees, and to that Lord Vishnu, we bow down. Who is the destroyer of the sins? Agaharam. Agaharam means he is the destroyer of the sins. So yes, the ultimate aim of the yoga process is also to satisfy and meditate on Lord Vishnu. Vasudeva para yoga, Vasudeva paraha kriyaha. Vasudeva paraha kriyaha means that all different kriyas or activities or actions are actually in order to satisfy him. That is why it is said in Bhagavad Gita, Yat karoshi yat ashnasi, yat juhoshi yat asi, yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kroshma darpanam. Whatever you do, yat karoshi. Whatever laukika karma or vaidika karma you do, yat karoshi, you submit it to me. Yat ashnasi, whatever you eat. Yat juhoshi, whatever you give in sacrifice or in charity. Dadasiyat, yat tapasasi, whatever penances and austerities you do, perform. Yat tapasasi kaunteya tat kroshma darpanam. O Sarvakunti, please submit all those actions and the results of those actions to satisfy me. This means Vasudev Parahakriya. All the actions are done just in order to please Lord Vishnu. Vasudev Paramjnanam, he is also the ultimate aim of the whole knowledge. Because he says that because Krishna is considered Gyeya. Gyeya means who is to be known. Jnana means knowledge. And Gyeya means who is to be known. Who is to be known by the knowledge? That Gyeya Paratha. That person who is to be known is Lord Narayana. Vasudeva Param Jnanam. He is the one who is to be known by Jnana or knowledge. Vasudeva param tapaha. And ultimately, the tapa or the penances or the austerities are done to satisfy him. And this point is substantiated in the statement of Lord Rishabhdev in the 5th canto of Bhagavatam. When Rishabhdev is instructing his sons, he is saying, Nayam deho deha bhajam riloke kashtam kamanarahati virbhajam ye tapo divyam putrikayem sattvam shuddhye vyasmad brahma sokhyam tanatvanantam tapo divyam putrikayem sattvam. O sons of mine, please listen. This tapa, this austerity is done, this divine austerity is undergone just in order to satisfy Lord Vishnu. Tapo divyam putrikayem sattvam. So the ultimate goal of tapa is also to please the Lord. Vasudeva paro dharmo. And the ultimate aim of religion itself, dharma itself, is also to satisfy the Lord. How? Because it has been explained in the 6th canto of Bhagavatam, when in the incident of Ajamil, when the Yamraj, he chastises his dutas, Yamadutas, he says, O foolish rascals, listen to me. He says to Yamadutas, O foolish rascals, please listen to me. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharma, the Sanatana Vaidika dharma, is created or is made manifest. The original source for Sanatana Vaidika dharma is Bhagavan, Lord Narayana, Lord Vishnu. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. This religion is not made up by 12 Mahajanas, of whom I am the one. Yamraj is saying, it is not made up by the 12 Mahajanas, of whom I am the one. No. It is rather made by the Lord. The dharma is created by the Lord, but we are just the carriers, we are just the propagators, the preachers of this dharma. And that is why we are known as Dwadash Mahajan, the 12 Mahajanas. So, Vasudeva paro dharma, because the Lord is the one who has made dharma or religion come into existence. That is why he is the root source of dharma. And what is param dharma? Savai kumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshade. What is the highest type of dharma? It is to please the Lord. Yayatma samprasidati. So yes, he is the goal. Vasudeva paragatihi. Ultimately, he is the final destination. Gatihi means he is the final destination. Where the path ends. Where the path ends, the dead end is Lord Narayana. Manvana bhavad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam bhakparayaha mame vaishyasi satyamte pradijane priyosime. 9th chapter and 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Same shloka. So, and machitta madhgata pranaha. So, Vasudeva paragatihi. He is the only ultimate destination. Lord Krishna is saying, I am the only ultimate destination for my devotees. Manmana abhavad bhakto madhyaji pam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyamte atmanam matparayanaha. They come to my abode because they or my devotees, they consider that I am their final destination, I am the final goal of their life. So yes, he is the final goal. And this is how, by understanding this point, the Uttam Mahabhagavata, the exalted devotee of the Lord, he does not want to either criticize, blaspheme or praise any object or any person on mundane level. Because that is of no use in the spiritual line. So, he does not do prajalpa. He is not afflicted by the flaw, by the fault, by the discrepancy, by the mistake of prajalpa. Prajalpa means unnecessary talks. One cannot talk unnecessarily if one does not either try to blaspheme or either try to praise any person on the mundane level. Then there is no chance for him to be engaged in prajalpa. So yes, and prajalpa is one of the things that destroys devotional service, right? Atyaharva prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha, neck of instruction, third verse. So yes, this is Uttamadhikari Mahabhagavata's Rakshan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Yeah, any questions? Comments?
Yes, you haven't quoted Shreyansa Dharma Biguna. And there are two verses mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita also. And you could do it some other time.
Yeah, you see, actually I had prepared many notes for today's discussion. And one of the statements or one of the shlokas that I was going to quote was Shreyansa Dharma Biguna today. But I did not reach that part because of the time limit. Actually, I wanted to expand this shloka. But we can quote this shloka in the evening session also, because this is of great, great use. While we define devotional service, this verse is of great use for us. So maybe we'll try to use this in the evening session. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Could you, please read the translation of today's verse again?
Oh, okay.
I'm interested to see how your discourse ties into that verse.
Okay. Yes, so the translation of today's verse is, different people are of different mentalities. Therefore, it is not my business either to praise them or to blaspheme them. I only desire their welfare, hoping that they will agree to become one with the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Actually, I spoke on the same verse in Alachua 2 weeks ago. They had the same shloka going on there. But there I explained it little differently. So as soon as Prabhupada writes in the first line of the purport, as soon as one comes to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one understands fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, he is the goal of life. Vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sudurlabha. So I just focused my today's explanation in explaining the first line of Prabhupada's purport.
Yeah. Lots of nice scriptural references to that point.
Yeah.
Very nicely done.
Okay. Please bless me.
Very strongly.
Yeah, you're a disciple of Srila Prabhupada?
No, not at all. Tomorrow Krishna Goswami.
Oh, okay. But by your age, you seem to be Prabhupada disciple anyways. So please bless me. You are a very senior devotee. Please bless me so that a neophyte devotee like me, who I'm just beginning the path of devotional service, can be the cause of satisfying Srila Prabhupada and the whole Guru Parampara and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Have you accepted initiation from
him? Yes. 4 years back, I was initiated by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. First and second initiation both. And now, my age is actually, I'm just 21. So I'm not that big a person. I'm just a destitute fallen soul and have no experience at all in the devotional line. So please bless me so that I can...
You do your spiritual master great credit.
What?
You give great credit to your spiritual master.
Yes.
No, I'm saying by your discourse, by your eloquent speech, you give great credit to your spiritual master.
Okay.
We have a saying in this country, a fruit falls not far from the tree.
Yes.
So you've honored your spiritual master very nicely.
Well, that is your humble position that you are glorifying me in this way, although I am not eligible to be glorified like that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Bolo Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Kitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.
Yes. Something about, I don't know how.